We love his son. We love his people. But there are things that we must not love. We're commanded not to love. Before we ever get to 1 John chapter 2, you might want to write this one down. Psalms chapter 97, verse number 10. You who love the Lord hate evil. I mean, you just can't get around that. You who love the Lord hate evil. Then you come to the pages of the New Testament, Romans chapter 12, verse number 9. There it says, let love be without dissimulation. That's a big old word. I don't know, Michael. Maybe you used it in the last day or two. It's been a while. I can't think of a time other than just reading that I ever used the word dissimulation. What does it mean? It means impurity. That's what it means, impurity. Let love be without impurity. Let love be without hypocrisy. Now, we understand that. Let love be without hypocrisy. Now, listen to the rest of the verse. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is good and abhor that which is evil and cleave to that which is good. Abhor that which is evil and cleave to that which is good. You know, you can't cleave to that which is good unless you abhor that which is evil. We understand it. We understand it in our physical, day-to-day lives. We understand that. If you love health, you're going to hate disease. You're going to hate disease. If you love people, then you're going to hate strife. If you love peace, you're going to hate war. You're going to hate warfare. We understand that. We understand all of that. There are some things we must not love. We don't have any options. As children of God, we must not love. Now look with me at 1 John chapter 2, beginning in verse 15. Love not the world. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Folks, it's just as plain as it can be. Love not the world. But what does that mean? Love not the world. What's the Holy Spirit, as he instructs John to write this for us, and as we read, what's the Holy Spirit talking about when it says love not the world? Well, obviously he's not talking about this globe. He's not talking about, when God made this globe and all of it, he said it's good. It is good. Hey, listen, it's okay. You can love the rocks, you can love the trees, you can love the bees, and you can love the fleas and whatever else is in it. It's okay. He's not talking about this globe. It's okay. This is my Father's world. And it's okay for me to enjoy it and to appreciate it. That's fine. He's not talking about this globe. He's not talking about the peoples of this world. There's to be no prejudice. There's to be no differences because of color and language and all of those kind of things. He's not talking about that. How do you know? I know that because of John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. He didn't give his son for this globe. He gave his son for the peoples of this world. And if God can love them, I'm okay loving them. How about you? It's okay to love people. He's not talking about this globe. He's not talking about the peoples of this world. Then what is he talking about when he says, love not the world? Well, it's wrapped up in this word that's translated in our Bibles as world. It's the word cosmos. I mean, what's a cosmos? It's a system. It's an order of things. Hey, we use it. We use it all the time. We talk about the world of finance, don't we? We talk about the world of sports. When I was a boy, it was the world of sports. You know, wild world of sports. And a guy flying off of a ski jump and all of that kind of almost killing himself. You know, we understand the world of sports, world of fashion. We understand that when it comes to finance, that there's a system, there's an order about it. The same is true with sports. There's a system, there's an order about it. And that's the word he's using here. Love not the world. This world has a system. It has an order. It's linked together and it's opposed to God. It's a system, it's an order that is opposed to God, opposed to our Lord Jesus Christ, and opposed to you and I, and we must not love it. To help us understand it, we're going to talk about, first of all, the nature of this world. The nature of this world. What are we talking about? We talk about the nature of this world. Then we're going to talk about the work of this world. This world that we're not to love, this system that we are not to love. What is it doing? And then we're going to talk about the end or the conclusion or the finality of this world. And they're all found right here in this section of Scripture that we read. So follow along with me. Follow along with me. We're going to move through this as fast as we possibly can. Busy day today. Busy day. First of all, we're talking about the nature of this world. We need to understand, this world has a prince. The world we're talking about that we are not to love has a prince. I want you to walk through a little bit with me. If you can flip back, hold your finger where you're at, but flip back into the Gospel of John. In John chapter 12, and verse number 31, listen to this. Jesus said, "Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out." Jesus said, this world has a prince. It has a prince. Look with me over to a couple of chapters later in John's gospel, in John chapter 14. John 14, and the verse is 30. John 14, verse 30. Jesus again says, "Hereafter I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh and hath nothing in me." The prince of this world cometh, Jesus says, he has nothing in me. He has nothing he can convict me of. He has nothing in me. But this world has a prince. Has a prince. Look over into the 16th chapter, the 11th verse. Chapter 16, verse number 11 of John. Of judgment, Jesus said, of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. The prince of this world is judged. We live in a world. We're not talking about the globe. We're not talking about the people of this world. We're talking about a system of this world that we are not to love, and that system has a prince. And that prince is diabolical, the devil. It is Satan himself, and we are not to love this world. This same John who wrote that gospel we've just been reading through, and the one who says in 1 John chapter 2, verse number 15, love not the world, will say in 1 John chapter 5, verse number 19, now we know that we are of God. He's talking to us as Christians. We know that we are of God, but the whole world lieth in wickedness. Young's literal translation renders that verse like this. The whole world lies in the lap of wickedness. This whole world that we're not to love, this whole system, this whole cosmos that we're not to love, it lies in the lap of, in the bosom of, the wicked one. And we're not to love it. We are not to love it. This world that John says don't love has a prince. This world that John says don't love has a philosophy. I'm just using words that start with P to help you remember it. Has a philosophy. A system of ideas, of thoughts that are meshed together, and they're alluring. They are alluring. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse number 19, but the foolishness of God is wiser than the wisdom of this world. This world has a wisdom, and oh, it looks good to us. That's the reason it's so appealing to us. It's because it looks so good to us. It looks fine. And it's attractive. And it's beautiful. It's a wisdom. It's a philosophy. It's a philosophy. This world has a prince. This world has a philosophy. This world has a purpose. Now, it's important that we understand what the purpose of this world is. If we ever understand what the purpose of this world is that we're talking about this morning, we'll understand why we are to hate it. Let's see if we can find it. Again, hold your finger there in 1 John, because we're going to come back. But look back with me again into the Gospel of John. In John chapter 7, John 7 is where we're going to begin. And in verse number 7, Jesus again speaking. John 7, verse number 7 says, the world cannot hate you, but me it hateth. Have you ever wondered? I want to stop just there. First, have you ever wondered why the world hated Jesus and hates Jesus now? The world doesn't hate the baby that was born in a stable. The world doesn't hate that baby. The world doesn't hate the man who walked on water and changed water into wine. The world doesn't hate that he changed water into wine. The world doesn't hate that he walked on water. The world doesn't hate that he healed the blind and he caused the lame to be able to walk. The world doesn't hate that. The world doesn't hate that. Why does the world hate Jesus? The world doesn't hate that he died on a cross. That's not what the reason the world hates Jesus. Read the verse with me, John 7, 7. The world cannot hate you, but it hates me because I testify of it that the works thereof are evil. That's the reason it hates Jesus. Because Jesus testifies the works of this world are evil. Now, folks, that's so contradictory to what we have, to what we believe. That's so contradictory to what we have been taught, even in the Lord's church to a degree. You know, we talk a lot about separation of church and state. We might get around to talking about separation between church and world someday. What do you think? The world, Jesus said, I testify, it is evil. It's evil. That's the nature of it. It's evil. You might want to go back one. Maybe not. Yeah, we're still back here. We're on the purpose. We're on its purpose. It's evil. That's its purpose. It's evil. Look with me. You're still in the Gospel of John. Look over in chapter 15. In chapter 15 of John. Jesus still talking. Is talking to his disciples. And verse number 18. Verse number 18. If the world hate you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love his own. But because you're not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hated you. The world hates you. This system we're talking about, that you're not to love, that I'm not to love. Understand, this world hates you. Don't be surprised, it hated Jesus before it hated you. Isn't that what he said? Is Jesus right or wrong? He's right. This world hated him. Now this world hates you. This world has a purpose. And that purpose, the purpose which is under this prince which rules over a principality, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities. What's a principality? Well, a principality is that which a prince reigns over. He's a prince and he's got others who are working under him. And through he's got, and that prince and that world, they have a system of thoughts and ideas which are so contrary to ours, so contrary to us, but yet appealing to us. It looks so nice. That's the reason we're drawn back into it so easily. It looks so desirable. It looks so harmless on the surface. But remember, that world has a purpose. And what's that purpose? Well, it hated Jesus and it killed him. It hates you. Guess what it wants to do to you? It wants to kill you spiritually. It wants you. It wants the souls of your children. It wants a soul. Does that not make you angry? That this world wants the soul of my kids. This soul wants the soul of my grandchildren. This world wants the soul of my sweet nieces and nephews. It has a purpose. It has a purpose. And this world has a people. This world has a people. In Luke 16, verse number 8, Jesus said, "For the people of this world are wiser than this in this generation than the children of light." The people of this world, it has a people. Understand, this world has a people. It has a people. And you're not one of them. If you're a Christian, if you have been born again, folks, if you've been born again, you're twice born. In a world of one born. No wonder you're constantly swimming against the tide. No wonder we are. Folks, we are twice borns in a world of once borns. And sometimes we want to think about, when we think about that broad way, and that narrow way which leads to life, and here's that broad way, we want to think about it like we would 67167 over there with the freeway and then the access roads alongside, and you got the Broadway over here and you got the access road over here, and we're going in one direction and the world's going in the other direction, but we're not faced with any of that. The Greek word for that is baloney. Listen, folks, there's no access road. That narrow way is right in the middle of this way that leads to destruction, and we're going one direction and they're going the other. And that means this life is tough. For you and I, it has a people. It has a people. You know what? You know what the purpose of this world is? Look at Romans chapter 12, verse number 2. Listen to Paul. He says, "Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed." That's what the world wants. The world wants, and its prince, and its philosophy, and its purpose, and its people, they want to conform you to their likeness. They want to conform you to the world. Listen to the verse, 1 John. I'm back at 1 John chapter 2. Listen to it again, verse number 15. "Love not the world, the things that are in the world." Why? "If any man loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him." You don't want to love this world. You want to keep swimming against the tide. You want to keep going against the flow. Maddie, you want to be the one who is different in this world. You want to be the one who is different. If everybody else goes with the world, you want to be the one who says, not I. Not I. I will not love this world and its system, which is trying to take my soul from me and take my wife's soul and take my kid's soul and take my grandkid's soul and take my niece's and nephew's soul and take your soul and the soul of my neighbors. I will not love it. That's got to be our attitude. That's got to be it. We've looked at the nature of this world. Look at the work of this world. If you're looking at the nature of this world, it's what the world does. That's what it does. If you're looking at the work of this world, we're talking about what it is, what it's trying to do, how it attracts us, how it allures us. And it's found right here in this verse. Look. He says in verse number 16, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, the lust of the flesh. Now, what is that? The lust of the flesh. Well, the lust of the flesh has to do with that which our flesh naturally desires. See, we've been twice born. We've been twice born. Once we were twice born, once we were born of water and spirit, the battle didn't end. The battle really began. Paul said in Galatians 5:17, for the flesh warreth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, and the two are contrary to one another. There is a civil war going on inside of you. There's a civil war going on inside of me. The flesh wants its way, and the spirit wants its way. And there's a battle going on. And which one's going to win? The one you give in, the one you feed, that's which one's going to win. The one you feed. The lust of the flesh. The lust of the flesh. This has to do with our possessions. With our possessions. We just naturally want stuff. And not any reason. Not any reason not to want what we need. But we don't just want what we need. We want what we need and what we don't need as well. We even want more of what we think we need. And folks, this world knows it. This world knows it. They know it. That's the reason you can run up a credit card in a minute. Because they know just how to get to you. They know just how to get to you. They know you want it. They know you want it. And they know how to work you. Lust of the flesh. Lust of the eye. Lust of the eye. This has to do, the lust of the flesh has to do with our passions, our desires, our wants. The lust of the flesh. If the flesh has a lust, the eyes do too. Have you ever heard someone say, well, just feast your eyes upon that? They're talking about the lust of the eyes. The lust of the eyes. It has to do with our possessions. We have these passions. And one of those passions is to have possessions. It's to have possessions. And we need it. We need some. We need some. The problem is that the world says, oh, you don't just need some. You need all of it. Everything you can get. All you can get. And that'll make you happy. We know that's not true. Any of us who've lived long at all. Any of us who live long at all knows, hey, that new car is not going to make you happy because the first payment's going to come due. Right? We know this. Oh, if I could just have a bigger house, I'd be happy. A house not going to make you happy. You know why? Because the same people living in the house lived in the old house. If you weren't happy in the old house, you're not going to be happy in the new house either. But the world knows it. The world knows it. And the world knows just how to work on us. To work on us. It works through the lust of our flesh, our desires, our passions. It works through the lust of our eyes, our desire for stuff, and the pride of life. This is the being. This is the being. It's when you get one of these letters. You get one of these phone calls. It's a phone call now. How'd they get my cell phone number is what I want to know. Mr. Riley, it has come to our attention that you are a man above average. That you love the finer things of life. And that you work extremely hard. And you deserve a vacation. And I think to myself, well, they got me right every other way. Maybe I do need a vacation. Not only do you need a vacation, you need one you got to pay for every month of the year from now on. And when you die, you can hand that off. You can will that over to your kids. They know just how to work you, don't they? I mean, they got you right where they want you. They understand this. When are we going to understand it, folks? When are we going to get it? Remember, though, that this world has a prince that has these ideas, that promotes these thoughts, that has a purpose, and that purpose is it. Hate Jesus, hate you. It has a people. He has a people. And they work through. Hey, folks, this lust of the flesh, lust of the eye, pride of life, it's nothing new. It's nothing new. Satan used it on Eve in the Garden of Eden, didn't he? Genesis chapter 3, verse number 6, she looked upon the tree that it was good to eat. There's the passion. It's good to eat. Lust of the flesh, it's good to eat. And that it could make men wise. And make them like God. There's the being. There's the being. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eye, the pride of life. The pride of life. Hey, Jesus comes, lives on this earth. Guess how Satan went after him? Exactly the same way. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eye, pride of life. Matthew chapter 4. Turn these stones into bread. Lust of the flesh. Lust of the flesh, took him on a high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world. You just bow down and worship me and I'll give you all of them. Lust of the eyes, possessions. You can have them, possessions. That didn't work. Took him to the pinnacle of the temple. Just throw yourself off this temple. Yet after all, the scripture says that the angels will bear you up lest you dash your foot against a stone. Just make a dramatic entrance. Just throw yourself. Just show them you are somebody. Lust of the flesh. Lust of the eyes. The pride of life. Let me tell you something, Christians. He's still working on you the same way he worked on Eve and the same way he worked on Jesus. Love not the world. Neither the things that are in the world. We've looked at the nature of the world. We've looked at the work of the world. Look with me finally at the destiny of the world. What's going to happen with this world? Well, read the verse with me. Read it. Verse number 16. I'm going to start there. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father. It's of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abides forever. What's the destiny of the world? It's going to pass away. It's going to pass away. Now think about it, folks. You think about what the Holy Spirit just told you. That all this stuff that the world has to offer you and looks so good and looks so attractive and is catching so many of us. The day is shortly coming. It's coming either by death or by the return of Jesus. Either way, it's coming pretty quick for us, isn't it? And what's going to happen to all that stuff? It's going to be gone if it ever existed to begin with. It's going to be gone. That's the reason Jesus would say of Satan in John 16, verse number 11. He's been judged. The prince of this world has been judged. It's coming to an end. It is. That's the reason in Matthew 16:19, Jesus could say, lay not up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moths and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do break through and steal. Rather, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Moths can't corrupt that. Thieves can never steal that from you. Remember, where your treasure is, that's where your heart is. Now, let me ask you something. Don't answer me out loud, but let me ask you a question. What really lights your fire? What really excites you? What is really your treasure? What is really your goal? Is it to make money? If that's what your goal is, that's what your treasure is, that's where your heart is at. Write it down. That's where your heart is at. Is it get more stuff? If that's what it is, it to be success? Is it to be somebody? If that's where your treasure is, you know exactly where your heart is. Is it to be a faithful, committed, working, active, dedicated disciple of Jesus Christ? Is that really what your passion is? Is that where you're at? If that's where you're at, that's where your heart will be. Wherever your treasure is, that's where your heart will be also. Jesus warned us in as clear a way as he could possibly warn us. John chapter 16, verse 24, he told us, if you want to be one of my disciples, here's what it's going to take. Deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow after me. That's what it's going to take. It's going to take denying those lusts of the flesh. It's going to take denying the lust of the eyes. It's going to take denying the lust, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life. It's going to take denying all of that stuff. It's going to take not loving this world. And then he says this, remember? For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his soul? All that stuff you sold your soul for, it's going to be gone. It's going to be gone. All that stuff that was so important to you, all that stuff, all of that way of life that you thought that's where it's at, man, that's it. It's passing away. It's passing away. But who's going to remain? Think about it, folks. Someday, David's going to die. I'm going to die. And when I die, there's not $1 going with me. When I die, there's not one chicken going with me. When I die, there's not one vehicle going with me. If I die outside of Christ, I go to hell. What a loss. What a loss. But if I die faithful in the Lord, I'm in heaven from now on. I win because I'm on the winning side. Listen to the verse. And the world passeth away and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abides forever. Can I ask you to think? Is it really worth it? Is it really worth it to throw all of yourself, all of your being, and to throw the eternal destiny of your soul into something that is going to pass away and be gone? Is it really worth it? Or is it worth it to throw yourself into someone where because you're in him, you'll abide forever? To me, that's a no-brainer. Now, folks, that's just a no-brainer to me. It's just a no-brainer. That's it. But boy, doesn't this world give us trouble. Doesn't it give us trouble? We love the world. I mean, it's easy for the world. It looks so good to us, doesn't it? It looks so attractive. And everybody else is doing it. And so it's hard to swim against the tide. It's hard to swim against the stream. It may be. I tell you, it is. But it's fun too, isn't it? It's fun to be the different one. It's fun to be different from everybody else. It's fun to be the one who, when everybody else is caught up in everything else, it's fun to be the different one. It's fun. You know why the world, I'm finished now, but I want to show you one more thing in this verse. Do you know why the world gives so many of us so much trouble? Look with me. 1 John 2:15. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. You know why so many of us struggle with loving the world? It's because it's the only thing we got to love. The love of the Father's not in us. The love of the Father's not in us. That's what the verse says. Well, if the love of the Father's not in us, what's the only thing you've got to love? This world. This world. But if you love God, if the love of the Father is in you, there's no room for love in the world. It's kind of like when I go home this afternoon and Beverly's got that lasagna cooking now. I can smell it, can't y'all? She's got that lasagna cooking now, and boy, she's going to feed me a big old plate of that lasagna and probably a pie. I don't know. Did you cook pie? No, you didn't cook any pie. I'm not going to get any pie, but, you know, maybe two helpings of lasagna, and boy, she gets me full right up to there, man, right up to there. And then here you come along and say, hey, would you like some crumbs? I don't have any trouble saying, I don't want any crumbs. Man, I'm full. I'm full. But folks, if you don't have the love of the Father in you, what's the only thing you got to fill you up? It's the love of this world. And that's what you're fighting. That's what you're fighting. You're fighting against a system that has a prince. And that prince has a network, a worldwide web, if you would, of ideas. System, thoughts that are attractive. They're attractive. And it reaches all the way from Main Street to Wall Street. It's attractive to us. And its purpose is to steal us and to kill us. And he's got a whole bunch of people on his side. Whole bunch of people. And John says, don't you dare be on that side. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. It won't be hard for you if you'll fill yourself up with the love of God. Just fill yourself up with the love of God. You won't be out there in the back alley, licking out of tin cans with some billy goat. Fill yourself up with the love of God. We've not talked about becoming a Christian this morning. But surely, there are those in a number like this who aren't yet children of God. If you're not a child of God, you're a child of the world. You're a child of the world. And from what you've just studied from God's Word, you don't want to be, you don't want to continue in that choice and that way of life. You want to escape that darkness, like it's talked about in Colossians 1:13. As Paul writes to the Christians at Colossae and says, you've been translated out of the kingdom of darkness. Wow, thank God. and into the kingdom of his dear son. Thank God. You want that for yourself. If you're a believer in God and in his son, Jesus Christ, if you'll turn from all of that stuff of the world, if you'll turn from that world to the life and light of the world, Jesus Christ, and be baptized into him, your sins will be remitted. You go away a child of God. A child of God. What an opportunity is set before you today. A child of God. If you're here and you're not a Christian, we encourage you to become one. If you're here, you're our brother and sister in Christ. You're our brother and sister in Christ. But the world's got more of you than Christ has got of you, and you know it. Repentance on your part needs to take place. Please, please do the right thing. Do the right thing. Love not the world. If we can help you with your need and desires, that's what we're here to do. You let us know, but come to the front as together we stand and sing.